From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello, listener. Indonesia Today will present you Kaleidoscope 2020. Stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id and shortwave frequency 3325 kHz.
Let's start with the events that took place in July. On the 1st of July, in the commemoration of the 74th Bhayangkara anniversary, which was held virtually from the State Palace, President Joko Widodo again reminded the police to take firm action against forest and land fires perpetrators. The President reminded regional and resorts police chief in the prone areas to anticipate forest and land fires that usually occur in the dry season. Several ranks of the regional police and resort police who participated in the video conference came from Talaut, Rote, Merauke, Gunung Kidul, Pulang Pisau, and Sabang. On July 2nd, the European Union welcomed Indonesia's decision to allow safe landings and provide humanitarian assistance to 99 Rohingya refugees who stranded off Aceh Northern coast. The rescue of the Rohingya refugees who are facing dire condition is a tribute to the international law, and it proves the generosity of the Indonesian people and government. This was said by spokesperson for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy for the European Union, Nabila Masrali, in a written statement. In collaboration with Indonesian authorities, the United Nations Refugee Agency, UNHCR, and other humanitarian organizations, the European Union would mobilize humanitarian support to address the most urgent basic needs of refugees. On July 3rd, Australia provided a fund worth 3.6 million Australian dollars, equivalent to around 35 billion rupiah, as assistance to Indonesia in dealing with the spread of the COVID-19 pandemic. In a written statement received by the Australian Embassy in Jakarta, this assistance is part of the Australia's commitment to cooperate with Indonesia in responding to the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. On July 7th, the government of Indonesia and India, through two of their professional agents, the Indonesian Maritime Security Agency and the Indian Coast Guard, signed a Memorandum of Understanding (MOU) on cooperation in the field of maritime safety and security. It is also hoped that the MOU is to provide a way to improve the interoperability of both countries and carry out joint search and rescue when needed. On July 9, Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs Mahfud MD appreciated the assistance provided by the Serbian government in extraditing the fugitive who broke into PNI Bank, Maria Pauline Lumowa, who had been on the run for 17 years. Meanwhile, on the 10th, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi explained about the release of Indonesian citizen sentenced to death in Saudi Arabia, Eti Binti Toyib Anwar. She said that the release went through a long diplomatic process up to the level of the head of state. The diplomacy for Eti's release was carried out by President Joko Widodo to King Salman Abdul Aziz Al Saud, as well as between the Indonesian foreign ministers and the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia in various bilateral meetings. The heirs were finally willing to give tanazul or forgiveness to Eti through a diat or payment of 4 million rial, or around 15.2 billion rupiah. Eti was sent home to Indonesia on July 6. On July 11, Minister of Trade Agus Suparmanto said that the Australian government had increased the quota for applying to work and holidays visa for Indonesian citizens to 4 times the current position. The increase in the quota of 1,000 people to 4,100 people per year is the result of cooperation as outlined in the Indonesia-Australia's Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement. The minister targets the quota for work and holiday visas for Indonesian citizens from the Australian government to reach 5,000 by the 6 years of the agreement implementation. On July 15, the European Union spent 35,000 euros for critical humanitarian assistance to 99 Rohingya immigrants who were rescued and allowed to land in Indonesia after more than 120 days at sea. The aid is for providing clean water, sanitation facilities, healthcare, psychosocial support, as well as essential materials such as sleeping mats and blankets, hygienic items, and personal protective equipment. On July 20, President Joko Widodo gave certain authorities to the National Economic Recovery and Transformation Task Force and the Task Force for Handling COVID-19. The first was to determine decisions that are binding on ministries or agencies, regional governments, and other government agencies. The second was to communicate and coordinate with related ministries or agencies and regional governments. Chairman of the National Economic Recovery and Transformation Task Force, according to the presidential's regulation, are Deputy 1, Minister for State-Owned Enterprises, Budi Gunadi Sadikin, while the head of COVID-19 Task Force is the head of the National Disaster Management Agency, Tony Monardo. The two task forces are part of the Committee for Handling COVID-19 and National Economic Recovery. On July 24, the Australian government handed over 100 non-invasive ventilators to Indonesia as part of a package worth $2 million Australian dollars for critical medical and laboratory equipment to support the response and recovery to COVID-19 in Indonesia. These medical devices are part of Australia's commitment to cooperate Indonesia to support the speed of the health, humanitarian and economic recovery response in Indonesia. On July 29, President Joko Widodo, in a closed meeting on the 2021 State Budget Posture Plan, carried out virtually, revealed that the World Bank's predictions regarding the post-crisis recovery of the world economy due to the COVID-19 pandemic would place Indonesia's economic recovery above the average world economic growth, or the second fastest after China.
Bahkan IMF memperkirakan ekonomi dunia akan tumbuh 5,4%.
Even the IMF predicts the world economy will grow by 5.4%. This is very high estimates in my opinion. The World Bank is 4.2%. OECD, Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, 2.8 to 5.2%. I think if the forecast is correct, we will be in an economic position that is also above world growth, and Indonesia is also projected to enter the group of the fastest economic recovery after China. This is also, if the projection is correct, we should be grateful. President Joko Widodo is optimistic that Indonesia's economy will grow above this figure. Nevertheless, he reminded his aides to remain vigilant. On July 30, the government of Indonesia and the United Arab Emirates agreed on travel corridor arrangement to facilitate important business trips, as well as officials and diplomatic visits during the COVID-19 pandemic. The agreement was reached in talks between Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi and her United Arab Emirates counterpart, Minister Sheikh Abdullah bin Zayed bin Sultan Al Nahyan. Let's move on to August. On August 4th, the Ad Interim Charge d'Affaires of Pakistan in Jakarta, Sajjad Khadir Khan, in a press conference at the Pakistani embassy said that bilateral relations between Indonesia and Pakistan have been going well. Both countries provide support to each other in various fields at international forums and the United Nations. He explained that to date, Indonesia and Pakistan have signed 32 cooperation agreements.
Our two countries have 32 MOUs and agreements of different kinds. We have defense cooperation, we have commercial agreements, we have joint working group on terrorism, and then working commission is being established. The two countries have policy planning dialogue. We have also the delegation level exchanges, commercial, business, trade, investment, as well as military.
Apart from discussing the bilateral relation between Indonesia and Pakistan, the Charge d'Affaires also discussed the issue of peace and security situation in South Asia, especially regarding the dispute between Pakistan and India in the Jammu and Kashmir region. He hopes that the Indonesian public and media will provide support and show a sense of solidarity with the people in Jammu and Kashmir. On August 8, the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN, commemorated its 53rd anniversary with a theme that focuses on Asian cohesive journey to resilience. A release from the Asian Secretariat received by Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta said that commemoration of Asian Day was held online due to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. On August 13, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi welcomed the main speaker in a webinar theme, The UN 75 Years, A Critical Reflection in Jakarta, said that the COVID-19 pandemic must open the eyes of all countries to promote togetherness and promote collaboration driven by the UN. According to the minister, at the age of 75, the UN must be able to manage and respond to world demands. One of them is in supporting efforts to mitigate pandemic and the socio-economic impacts caused by pandemic.
Dalam jangka pendek, PBB harus mendukung upaya masyarakat internasional.
In the short term, the UN must support the efforts of the international community in mitigating the pandemic and its socio-economic impacts. This includes access to medicines and vaccine for all. In the long term, the UN must be able to help improve global health governance, including efforts to prevent future pandemics. Furthermore, Minister Retno Marsudi also reminded the UN to be able to anticipate various world challenges in the future. She hopes that the UN can work by prioritizing the development of member countries. On August 13, the European Union Ambassador to Asia, Igor Drismans, launched three new development cooperation projects between the European Union and Asia with a total funding of 13 million euros. These projects will support urbanization and sustainable forest management, as well as the Asian Supreme Audit Institute. In a virtual press conference on the occasion of the Asian European Union Scholarships and Cooperation Day in Jakarta, Igor Drismans said that the European Union is a very important partner of Asia in development cooperation. The European Union has provided support to the Asian region by providing funds amounting to 250 million euros for a regional integration program from 2014 to 2020. Now, the European Union is announcing the start of three new European Union-Asian cooperation programs.
And I'm very happy to announce today that we are launching another three projects this year. The first one is the Smart Green Cities program of 5 million euro, which will promote sustainable urbanization in several ASEAN cities and promote exchanges and smart solutions within ASEAN and with the European Union. Secondly, the ASEAN Forest Governance Support Program of 5 million euro, which will support sustainable forest governance and management across the region and work on processes for sustainable timber licensing and trade in ASEAN member states. Thirdly, the ASEAN Supreme Audit Institutions Program, 3 million euro, which will enhance exchange and capacity building for Supreme Audit Institutions in the region and increase harmonization and transparency.
Ambassador Igor Drismans hopes that with the launch of this program, the European Union and Asia will demonstrate a strong commitment to increasing partnerships and cooperation despite the COVID-19 pandemic. On August 14, 161 members of the House of Representatives physically attended the 2020 annual session, while 274 attended virtually from their respective places. This was announced by Chairman of the Indonesian People's Consultative Assembly (MPR) Bambang Susatyo when opening the session at the Nusantara Building in Jakarta. President Joko Widodo was present wearing traditional sapu cloth from the province of East Nusa Tenggara, as well as Vice President Maruf Amin. In his opening speech, Bambang Susatyo said that the annual session is not only a ceremonial agenda, but also a very important meaning for state institution. It becomes a forum to uphold people's sovereignty, build communication, as well as a vehicle to foster public trust through performance reports on the implementation of authorities and constitutional duties of each state's institution. On August 17, the commemoration of the 75th anniversary of the Republic of Indonesia took place at State Palace in Jakarta by implementing the COVID-19 prevention health protocols. The remembrance of ceremony of the Independence Proclamation moments was led by President Joko Widodo. Meanwhile, Colonel Infantry Muhammad Imam Gogor was the commander of the ceremony. Chairman of the People's Consultative Assembly, Bambang Susatyo, read out the text of the proclamation. Deputy for Protocols, Press and Media of the Presidential Secretariat, Bey Mahmudin, at the State Palace in Jakarta said he was sure that even with health protocols, the program would remain solemn. Various arts and cultures that are usually held in the palace yard were transferred to television or virtual space. All ceremony participants, the troop hoisting the heirloom flag, and all the people who took part in the ceremony had also been tested for COVID-19 first. The ceremony broadcast could also have been seen by all Indonesian citizens who are abroad. On August 20, the government of Indonesia and China agreed to an essential travel corridor arrangement for important business and business needs between the two countries amid the COVID-19 pandemic. This was stated by Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi in a virtual press conference after attending a bilateral meeting with the Chinese government in Sanya City, Hainan, China. During the meeting, the Indonesian delegation was represented by Minister Retno Marsudi and Minister of State-Owned Enterprises, as well as the Chief Executive of the Committee for Handling COVID-19 and National Economic Recovery, Eric Thohir. Meanwhile, the Chinese delegation was chaired by the State Councilor and Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi. According to Minister Retno Marsudi, the travel corridor agreement with China is the third agreement signed by the government of Indonesia and other countries after the United Arab Emirates and South Korea during the COVID-19 pandemic. On August 24, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, during a press conference after a limited meeting at the presidential office in Jakarta, said that the fulfillment of the COVID-19 vaccine for the short term, especially for 2020 and 2021, has been secured. In these efforts, Minister Retno Marsudi and Minister of State-Owned Enterprises, as the Executive Chair of the Committee for Handling COVID-19 and National Economic Recovery, Eric Thohir, paid visit to China and the United Arab Emirates. She explained that the result of this visit was that Indonesia had succeeded in securing a commitment up to 340 million vaccine.
Dari kunjungan kedua negara tersebut dapat kami sampaikan bahwa untuk
from the visit to the two countries, we can say that for 2020, what we have secured is a commitment of 20 to 30 million vaccine. Meanwhile, for 2021, for the first quarter, the vaccine we would secure are about 80 and 130 million. Meanwhile, in the second to fourth quarters, we have secured 210 million. Those, if we talk about the numbers of for 2021, the numbers we can secure are between 290 million to 340 million. Minister Retno Marsudi added that the government is making short-term and long-term efforts to meet the need for the COVID-19 vaccine. Short-term efforts include securing vaccine supplies from the United Arab Emirates and China. The long-term efforts is to achieve independence in producing the vaccine. On August 27, Indonesia received funding approval of $103.8 million from the Green Climate Fund for a proposal for REDD+, or reducing emission from deforestation and forest degradation, result-based payment. In a joint press conference of the Ministry of Environment and Forestry and the Indonesian Ministry of Finance, which was held virtually on Thursday, Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya said that this funding had gone through the verification of an independent technical team appointed by the Secretariat of the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change.
Bahwa Indonesia telah mendapatkan pengakuan dari komunitas global atas keberhasilan pengurangan emisi gas.
That Indonesia has received recognition from the global community for the success of reducing greenhouse gas emission from deforestation and forest degradation activities. This recognition is in the form of approval from the GCF, or Green Climate Fund, to disburse funds worth $103.78 million for performance payment called the result-based payment scheme for the REDD+ program, namely reducing emission from deforestation and forest degradation activities. This is proof of Indonesia's commitment and performance in controlling climate change. Minister Siti Nurbaya added that the government's success in consistently reducing the rate of deforestation was pursued through a number of steps and policies. These measures are forest and land rehabilitation, reforestation, protection and security of conservation forest areas, protection and security of forest areas, forest and land fire control, law enforcement, timber legality verification system, and social forestry. On August 29, the Security Council of the United Nations, in a session chaired by the Permanent Representative of the Republic of Indonesia to the United Nations in New York, Dian Trian Shahyani, stated that it had endorsed Consensus Resolution 2538 regarding female personnel in UN peacekeeping missions. She explained that the resolution was passed on August 28, 2020, New York time, and is the first resolution in the history of Indonesian diplomacy at the UN Security Council. The resolution initiated by Indonesia was sponsored by 97 UN countries, including all members of the UN Security Council. The ratification is considered an important breakthrough because this is the first time the UN Security Council to have passed a resolution that specifically addresses the role of female world peacekeepers. Let's move on to September. On September 3rd, The Indonesian government, through the Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment, signed a deed of agreement with an Australian iron ore industry company, Fortescue Metals Group, to develop renewable energy to support the green industry. The signing was carried out by the Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, and the founder of Fortescue Metal Group's Andrew Forrest in Jakarta. Still on the same date, Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi chaired the virtual ministerial meeting on foreign policy and global health. During the meeting, she conveyed some points related to health sector. She also stated that it's important for global cooperation to ensure equal and equitable access to vaccine and to build a strong national health system in every country. In a teleconference on September 4th, Minister Retno also hoped that the foreign policy and global health could become a motor to strengthen the spirit of international cooperation and collaboration in the face of the COVID-19 pandemic. She said that the meeting was attended by 7 ministers from Indonesia, South Africa, Brazil, France, Norway, Senegal, and Thailand, as well as the Director General of the World Health Organization, Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus. On September 7th, as many as 297 Rohingya refugees, 14 of them children, were stranded in Aceh waters, precisely at Ujong Blang Beach, Banda Sakti District, Lok Sumawe City. They were rescued by fishermen and pulled ashore. Commander of the Lok Sumawe Navy Base, Marine Lieutenant Colonel Dimi Umri, told RRI that all the stranded refugees had been secured and they were in good health. On September 11, the Republic Broadcasting Institute LPP Radio Republik Indonesia commemorated its 75th anniversary. President Director of LPP RRI, Muhammad Rohanuddin, stated on September 10th that the spirit of fighting is being carried out so that RRI can continue to be beneficial to the general public. He also explained that currently, the world is very interested in digital technology. Therefore, since 2013, RRI has built digital technology with multiple platforms. All platforms must be done by RRI. One of the reasons is that RRI is in charge of providing knowledge to the community. According to Rohanuddin, anyone who is segment of RRI must be approached. RRI must have a way to approach all existing platforms. Therefore, RRI should not be tied to a radio platform alone. On September 17, spokesperson of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Tengku Faiza Shah, in a virtual press conference said that the normalization of relations between the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain with Israel did not affect Indonesia's attitude towards Palestine.
Normalisasi hubungan UAE Israel dan Bahrain Israel tidak akan merubah posisi Indonesia dan Palestina.
Normalization of the United Arab Emirates Israel and Bahrain Israel will not change Indonesia's position on Palestine. For Indonesia, the resolution of the Palestinian issue needs to respect the resolution of the UN Security Council related, as well as the internationally agreed parameters, including two-state solutions. Faiza Shah added that all peace initiatives should not thwart the Arab Peace Initiative, which was initiated by the Arab League in 2002, and the resolution of other Islamic State Cooperation Organization. He also pointed out that Indonesia understands the desire of the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain to provide space for related parties to negotiate and change approaches to resolve the Palestinian issue through this agreement. The effectiveness of the deal depends heavily on Israel to respect it. Still on September 17, Minister of National Development Planning or head of the National Development Planning Agency, Suharto Monoarfa, along with the Ambassador of the European Union to Indonesia, Vincent Piket, launched a publication book on cooperation between Indonesia and the European Union in 2020, virtually in Jakarta. This publication book summarizes efforts to advance sustainable development to mitigate the effect of climate change. This book also highlights the various achievements of development programs in Indonesia, supported by the European Union and its member countries. The cooperation between the European Union and Indonesia in 2020 takes the theme Building Capacity for Green Growth. The European Union Ambassador to Indonesia said the team was taken because the social and economic impacts of the pandemic must be addressed through sustainable environmental development. Meanwhile, Minister Suharto said that the European Union had become a partner of cooperation for Indonesia not only before the COVID-19 pandemic occurred, but also when the pandemic broke out in Indonesia. On September 20, the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources Office Building won a prestigious award at the 2020 Asian Energy Awards. The Heritage Building and the Tairul Saleh Building won the Energy Efficient Building Competition. The announcement and awarding of winners were made at the 38th Asian Minister of Energy meeting in Da Nang, Vietnam in November. This was said by Head of the Bureau of Communication, Public Information Services and Cooperation at the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources, Agung Pribadi, in a release received by Antara Agency in Jakarta. Agung hopes that by winning these awards, the buildings within the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources can participate at the Asian Energy Awards in the following years. The Heritage Building, where the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources is based, is a historic building that was renovated in 2016 and transformed into a near-zero energy building. Since 2017, the building has installed 441 solar panels with a total capacity of 86 kilowatt peak, or the equivalent of 44.2% of the total installed electricity capacity. Meanwhile, the Khairul Saleh Building, or the Secretariat General Office Building, has implemented the energy management program since 2016. On September 22nd, Vice President Maruf Amin virtually inaugurated the operation of the Asian Cyber University, or Asia Cyber University, as the first cyber university in Indonesia. The Asian Cyber University is led by the Chancellor Professor Yun Cho, is the first foreign rector in Indonesia. In his remarks, Vice President Maruf Amin expressed his hope that the Asian Cyber University could provide equitable and affordable access to higher education and encourage the development of superior human resources in Indonesia. On September 30th, Indonesian Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani said that Indonesia's economy is projected to start recovering in the third and fourth quarters of this year, and the acceleration will occur in 2021. This was conveyed by Minister Sri Mulyani in a press statement regarding Indonesia's 2021 revenue and expenditure budget. Minister Sri Mulyani said that Indonesia's economy was projected in the range of 5.0%. She also remarked that the handling of COVID-19 pandemic was one of the factors determining economic recovery.
Faktor-faktor tentu yang bisa memulihkan ekonomi Indonesia, satu, penanganan COVID.
Factors that can restore Indonesia's economy, one, handling of COVID-19, starting from this year or the next year, with the discipline of health protocols, will still be very decisive. The more we can control it through health protocols, this will help to be able to deal with COVID, and at the same time begin to carry out economic recovery and social activities. Minister Sri Mulyani added that another factor that determines Indonesia's economic recovery next year is the availability of the COVID-19 vaccine. Furthermore, she also said that economic recovery will also be driven both in terms of demand and supply. From the demand side, the government will continue to provide social assistance to increase purchasing power, especially to the lower middle class people, which accounts for 40% of the total population in Indonesia. Let's move on to October. On October 3rd, the government of Indonesia expressed its appreciation for the handling of COVID-19 in Indonesia and the South Korean government's support for the protection and safety of Indonesian citizens in South Korea. This was conveyed by Indonesian Minister of Manpower, Ida Fauzia, in her remarks at the commemoration of South Korean National Day, which was held virtually. On that occasion, Minister Ida Fauzia conveyed various collaborations that have progressively developed in various fields between Indonesia and South Korea.
Sebagai mitra strategis khusus, kerjasama Indonesia dan Korea telah berkembang secara...
As a special strategic partner, cooperation between Indonesia and Korea has progressively developed in various fields, from Industry 4.0, economy, investment, trade, education, to increasing human resource capacity. The partnerships between the two countries is getting closer, even though in the midst of the challenges of the pandemic, through various collaboration to overcome COVID-19. In Labor and Human Resource Cooperation, Minister Ida Fauzia also appreciated the role of the South Korean government in facilitating Indonesian migrant workers to obtain an adequate work environment and equal treatment. She added that both countries support each other in dealing with regional and global issues. She also remarked that Indonesia always supports the achievement of peace and stability in the Korean Peninsula through communication and dialogue. Still on the same date, Indonesia at the G20 meeting emphasized the importance of the COVID-19 vaccine in order to become a universally accessible public goods and support the development of quality, safe and effective vaccines. This was conveyed by Deputy for International Economic Cooperation of the Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs, Rizal Afandi Lukman, in a statement in Jakarta. Rizal, as the delegate or Sherpa G20 Indonesia, while attending the third virtual Sherpa G20 meeting, said that Indonesia had implemented comprehensive policy steps in dealing with the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic nationally. The policy measures aims to protect public health, protect the most vulnerable groups affected by the impact, create new jobs, and restore the national economy.
On this occasion, the Sherpas G20 agreed to collaborate and overcome the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, restore economic growth, and create jobs and shape a future that is resilient to the crisis. In the commemoration of the 57th anniversary of the Indonesian National Armed Forces 10E, which fell on October 5th, the 10E was asked to improve its capabilities and weapons to face hybrid threats, namely the threat of chemical, biological, radiation, and nuclear weapons. Military and intelligence observer Susani Tias Kertopati, in a written statement in Jakarta, said that hybrid threats have changed the perspective of future threats. In military operations other than war, the 10E also face new challenges, namely participating in tackling non-natural disaster, the COVID-19 pandemic. The COVID-19 pandemic is a non-military threat which is different from a military threat and a non-military threat. According to Susani Tias, the threat of nuclear weapons, chemical weapons, and radiation weapons also has a high scale to detect and deter. Still on October 5th, President Joko Widodo emphasized the importance of providing livable houses for the community. This was conveyed by the President in a virtual greeting at the Global Habitat Day 2020 commemoration event held in Surabaya City. He assessed that the theme of this year's Global Habitat Day commemoration, Housing for All, A Better Urban Future, is a very relevant theme for the world.
Tema Housing for All, A Better Urban Future, merupakan agenda yang tepat untuk kita semua.
The theme, Housing for All, A Better Urban Future, is the right agenda for all of us, for the whole world. That home is a basic need of all people around the world. That home will strengthen the family as the main pillar of the nation's strength. And homes are the first bulwark against various health risks, including the COVID-19 pandemic. President Joko Widodo said that the Indonesian government is working hard so that every citizen can occupy a decent house. One of them is through the 1 million house program, which has been implemented since 2015. The president added that the target of building 1 million housing units per year has been successfully exceeded since 2018, with a focus on low-income communities. Through the Global Habitat 2020 commemoration event, which was participated in by 193 countries, President Joko Widodo hopes that the delegates from all over the world can share ideas, exchange knowledge, expertise, and experiences, as well as forge cooperation and strengthen collaboration to increase city resilience in facing pandemics as well as other disasters. The Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry held a climate festival in Jakarta from October 7 to October 27, theme Strengthening Climate Change Mitigation and Adaptation Action During the COVID-19 Pandemic. In the opening of the climate festival, which was held virtually, Deputy Minister of Environment and Forestry Alwe Dohong hoped that the climate festival could accelerate the ability of people to adapt to climate change in Indonesia.
Festival iklim ini kita harapkan banyak inovasi-inovasi baru, baik yang sifatnya teknologi.
We expect a lot of new innovation, whether technological or otherwise, in order to accelerate our ability to adapt to mitigate climate change in Indonesia. In order for us to contribute to controlling global temperature in a world which target is below 2 level. Deputy Minister Alwe Dohong added that the 2020 Climate Festival was held in different circumstances, which required the Ministry of Environment and Forestry to adapt through technology by holding virtual exhibition. In the 2020 Climate Festival, the Ministry of Environment and Forestry also launched a capacity building program for Indonesian negotiators at the global level. Indonesian Minister for Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati won an award as Finance Minister of the Year for East Asia Pacific in 2020, given by Global Markets magazine. On October 12, in a statement in Jakarta, Minister Sri Mulyani said this award was a form of the seriousness and hard work of all levels of the Ministry of Finance in dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic in Indonesia. She hopes that this award will trigger improvements in fiscal management in Indonesia in facing the challenges of the COVID-19 pandemic, because Indonesia's challenges are still tough and long ahead. On October 14, Director General for Asia Pacific and African Affairs of the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Desra Percaya, in his remarks in an international webinar commemorating 60 years of Indonesia-Morocco cooperation, said that the momentum of commemorating 60 years of cooperation between the two countries this year is a very important initiative amid the COVID-19 pandemic. According to Desra, the cooperative relation between Indonesia and Morocco have been described as close friendship at the community level. He hopes that Indonesia and Morocco can continue to cooperation
especially in advancing moderate Islam to the international world.
Sebagaimana diketahui, hubungan diplomatik RI Maroko dimulai sejak April tanggal 19, 1960.
As is well known, diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Morocco began on April 19, 1960, and for 60 years, the cooperation between the two countries in various fields has been going well and stable. Indonesia and Morocco are also strategic partners in advancing moderate Islam to the international community. Desa Percaya also hopes that Indonesia and Morocco can continue to develop efforts to promote moderate Islam, counteract the issue of radicalism, eradicate the image of radical Islam and the stigma of Islamophobia, both in the form of bilateral cooperation and in various global cooperation forums. On October 15, Minister of Trade Agus Suparmanto in an official statement announced that the Ministry of Trade, Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Bank Indonesia and the Investment Coordinating Board launched an integrated bilateral economic cooperation data platform dashboard of the Japan-Indonesia Partnership Launch, abbreviated JAIPONG, which was held virtually. The launch of JAIPONG is an innovation in the trade sector that utilizes digital technology. The JAIPONG dashboard is expected to become a one-stop hub to provide comprehensive information on various opportunities for Indonesia and Japan economic cooperation. Minister Agus Suparmanto said that through JAIPONG, data is displayed in a current, reliable, accurate, and timely manner. The JAIPONG dashboard is an effort to bring innovation in economic diplomacy. The name of President Joko Widodo is immortalized as a street name in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates. On the 19th, the inauguration of the street name President Joko Widodo was carried out by the member and chairman of the Abu Dhabi Executive Office, Sheikh Khalid bin Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan. Indonesian Ambassador to the United Arab Emirates, Husin Bagis, explained that President Joko Widodo's street naming reflects the close relationship between Indonesia and the United Arab Emirates, as well as a form of respect of the United Arab Emirates government to President Joko Widodo in advancing relations between the two countries during his tenure as a head of state. On October 24th, President Joko Widodo gave a speech at the virtual anniversary of the Indonesian Doctors Association at the Bogor Presidential Palace in West Java. In his remarks, President Joko Widodo appreciated the role of the Indonesian Doctors Association in integrating all the potentials of Indonesian doctors and developing medical science, including improving the health status of all Indonesian people. He also remarks that the COVID-19 pandemic has provided many lessons and made aware of all shortcomings that exist. Therefore, the government plans to carry out transformation and reform in the health sector. The president also said that the steps begun with prevention efforts to strengthening the capacity of health human resources, developing hospitals, as well as the pharmaceuticals and medical devices industry in Indonesia.
Diagnostic tests, emergency ventilator, mobile lab biosafety.
Rapid diagnostic tests, emergency ventilators, mobile biosafety labs equipped with PCRs, use of artificial intelligence for the diagnosis of COVID-19 and the COVID track application to help doctors monitor patient mobility. And we are accelerating clinical trials and mass production of red-white Indonesian vaccine. President Joko Widodo further said that the COVID-19 pandemic has also become a momentum for strengthening health resilience and the capacity of national health services. On this occasion, he expressed his deep condolences to the families of the 136 doctors who died while carrying out their duties to deal with COVID-19. On October 28, Indonesia commemorated a historic event that occurred 92 years ago, namely the Youth Pledge Day, on which the then Indonesian young generation, the Second Youth Congress, which took place 27 to 28 of October 1928, read out a pledge to have only one country and one nation, the Indonesian nation, and uphold the national language of unity, which is Indonesian. This historical event became a momentum for the awakening of the unity and integrity of the Indonesian nation. Thereby, Minister of Religious Affairs Fahrul Razi in Jakarta called on youth, millennial generation, to strengthen their determination and enthusiasm to build the country, mainly unity, brotherhood, and mutual harmony by holding fast to Pancasila, the state philosophy and religious teachings. On October 29, President Joko Widodo received U.S. Secretary of State Michael Richard Pompeo at the Bogor Palace in West Java. This is the second visit to Pompeo's after having been appointed Secretary of State by President Donald Trump. After accompanying the President, Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi said that this visit had an important meaning for the strategic partnership between Indonesia and the USA. Considering the panic due to the COVID-19, which is still sweeping the world, a number of things have become the theme for talks between the two countries. Minister Retno said that President Joko Widodo hoped the United States could extend the Generalized System of Preference, or GSP, facility to Indonesia. GSP is an American policy to ease import duties on imported goods.
Presiden juga menginginkan agar kerjasama pertahanan dengan Amerika Serikat meningkat.
The President also wanted defense cooperation with the United States to increase, and the President also said he wanted to see America understand the interests of developing countries, and also emphasized that he wanted America to understand the interests of Muslim countries. In addition, the President also said that Indonesia wanted America to understand Southeast Asia, and together with Southeast Asian countries, to create peace, stability, and cooperation in the region.
Perdamaian, stabilitas, dan kerjasama di kawasan.
Meanwhile, from the United States, according to Minister Retno Marsudi, Mike Pompeo expressed his commitment to continue the strategic comprehensive partnership with Indonesia. Especially Indonesia is considered to have an important role in the region. Indonesia is an anchor for Asian. Therefore, with this big role for Indonesia, the U.S. really wants to establish a better relationship with Indonesia. Minister Retno added that the United States appreciated Indonesia's role in Afghanistan's issues. She also stated that the United States and Indonesia, along with a number of countries, continue to cooperate to bring peace in Afghanistan. On October 31st, President Joko Widodo held a meeting to discuss a number of world issues, especially those related to brotherhood between religious believers. In a press statement after meeting a number of religious leaders and its aides at the State Palace in Jakarta, President Joko Widodo said that the Indonesian people condemned the violence that occurred in Paris, France, which had claimed lives.
Yang pertama, Indonesia mengecam keras terjadinya kekerasan yang terjadi di Paris dan Nice yang telah memakan korban jiwa. Yang kedua, Indonesia juga mengecam keras.
First, Indonesia strongly condemned the violence that occurred in Paris and Nice, which has claimed lives. Secondly, Indonesia also strongly condemned the statement of the French president who insulted the religion of Islam, which has hurt the feelings of Muslims around the world, which could divide the unity between religious believers in the world at a time when the world needs unity to face the COVID-19 pandemic. The freedom of expression, which injured the respect for purity and the sacredness of religious values and symbols, cannot at all be justified and must be stopped. Associating religion with acts of terrorism is a big mistake. Terrorism is terrorism. Terrorists are terrorists. Terrorism has nothing to do with any religion. Finally, Indonesia invites the world to prioritize religious unity and tolerance to build a better world.
Terakhir, Indonesia mengajak dunia mengedepankan persatuan dan toleransi beragama untuk membangun dunia yang lebih baik.
On the same occasion, Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs Mahfud MD underlined President Joko Widodo's message to promote unity and tolerance among religious believers. He emphasized that every demonstration carried out in Indonesia related to the statements of the President of France should be carried out in an orderly manner and not destructive. He also emphasized that no party in Indonesia was directly involved with President Macron's statement, so it was not proper that any damage occurred during the protest. Moving on to November. On November 5th, Indonesia joined the 14 Asian Navy Chief meetings online. At that occasion, Indonesia Navy Chief of Staff Yudo Margono at Navy Headquarters in East Jakarta said that the spirit of Asian centrality must be principles for cooperation in Indo-Pacific, especially in the maritime security aspect and Navy cooperation. The meeting, led by Vietnam Navy Commander Admiral Tran Tan Nghiem and joined by Navy Chief of Asian, was held in Hanoi, Vietnam. On November 10, President Joko Widodo led the National Heroes Day at Heroes Cemetery, Kalibata, South Jakarta. He was accompanied by Vice President Ma'ruf Amin. The ceremony followed the health protocols. After the ceremony, both the President and Vice President visited the graves of some heroes. On November 12, Indonesia joined the 37 Nations Summit online. Indonesia Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi in a press conference at the Bogor Palace said that the summit resulted in 33 agreements. One of them is Asian Comprehensive Recovery Framework. This agreement consists of strategy to handle the pandemic both through cooperation among Asian countries and with partners. On the same day, President Joko Widodo joined the 21st Asian South Korea Summit online. He expressed optimism towards the partnership of Asian and South Korea. He also remarked that the cooperation between the two countries despite of COVID-19 pandemic that affects many sectors. On November 16, Indonesia joined the APEC ministerial meeting. Indonesia, represented by Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi, encouraged APEC to provide global market access for micro, small, medium enterprises through integration to digital economy. The meeting resulted in APEC ministerial joint statement consisting of APEC performance in 2020, including the COVID-19 pandemic mitigation, digital economy and technology use, as a political support on SDGs 2030. November 17, Coordinating Minister for Maritime and Investment Luhut Binsar Panjaitan met President of the United States of America Donald Trump at the White House, Washington, D.C. On the occasion, Minister Luhut expressed hope for good cooperation with the USA to be increased in the future government. He also extended the appreciation of President Joko Widodo for Donald Trump's support for Indonesia's U.S. cooperation, including the generalized system of preference by United States Trade Representative for Indonesia. On November 22, President Joko Widodo joined the G20 summit virtually from Bogor Palace, West Java. The two-day summit was held under the leadership of Saudi Arabia, led by King Salman, and was attended by heads of states or governments of the G20 member countries, invited countries, and international organization representative. According to Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, on the occasion, President Joko Widodo stated the importance of funding for health recovery.
Yang pertama adalah pentingnya pendanaan bagi pemulihan kesehatan. Presiden mengatakan bahwa dunia tidak akan sehat kecuali semua negara.
First is about funding for health recovery. The president said the world cannot recover unless all countries are healthy and vaccine are one of the ammunition. Vaccine must be accessible and available for every country without exception. G20 political commitment is needed to mobilize global funding for health recovery.
Pendanaan global bagi pemulihan kesehatan.
The second issue needing the attention of G20 member countries was support for global economic recovery. Among many is about loan restructuring support for low-income countries and fiscal relaxation for developing countries. On November 23rd, Indonesian Food and Drugs Monitoring Agency BPOM held training on food and drugs for Palestinian Authority. The virtual training was opened by head of BPOM, Penny Lukito, and attended by Palestinian Health Minister Mai Al-Kaila, as well as 20 training participants from Palestinian Health Ministry. Minister Mai Al-Kaila appreciated the training, which used IT in online format to support forming of Palestinian Foods and Drugs Regulatory Authority amid COVID-19 pandemic. On November 26, Indonesia participated in the third ministerial meeting of Archipelagic and Island States AIS Forum. Indonesia, represented by Coordinating Minister for Maritime and Investment, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, invited archipelagic and island countries join in AIS to unite in facing the challenges amid COVID-19 pandemic. This meeting was held online and joined by 5 ministers of participant countries, 24 participants, countries representative, and 6 international organizations. Moving on to December. On December 3rd, President Joko Widodo, in his online remark during the International Day of Person with Disabilities from Jakarta, said that the International Day of Person with Disability this year must be a moment to reaffirm care and solidarity in providing a strong basis to protect people with disabilities. The President affirmed the government always attempted to increase equality and opportunities towards the access of education, health, job and infrastructure. He also said that none of the people with disabilities could be left out from various services from the government. All sides, starting from the ministries to regional government, must also be actively supporting this. On December 6, the Indonesian government received 1.2 million doses of Sinovac's COVID-19 vaccine. President Joko Widodo, in his virtual remarks, said that the Sinovac vaccine has been clinically tested in Bandung, West Java, since August. Apart from the 1.2 doses, government will also have 1.8 million more to come in early January 2021. The president said that besides ready-to-use vaccine, Indonesia will also purchase raw vaccine materials to be processed by state-owned pharmaceutical company Bio Farma. On December 9, the simultaneous regional head election was held in 269 regions across Indonesia. President Joko Widodo said the regional election amid the pandemic, besides being democratic, had to be followed with health protocols. On December 10, the 13th Bali Democracy Forum in Nusa Dua Bali was officially opened by Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi. In her remark, she affirmed the importance of keeping democratic values and practices during and after the COVID-19 pandemic. Different from the previous events, the 13th Bali Democracy Forum was held in limited way. No more than 50 participants were joining due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Listener, that was the Kaleidoscope of 2020. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, I'm going to introduce you Osing Tourism Village. As the largest regency in East Java Province, Banyuwangi is currently one of the most popular tourism destinations. It is directly adjacent to Bali Strait. Most visitors will come only past before crossing to Bali. If you have time, try to stop over for a moment and explore this small town called the Sunrise of Java. The area is quite diverse, from lowlands to highlands, mountainous areas and beaches, as well as historical sites and other ancient heritage sites. By carrying out the concept of ecotourism, Banyuwangi has succeeded in developing eco-friendly tourism by prioritizing aspects of nature conservation, socio-cultural, and economic empowerment of the local communities. The tourism village, which is the residence of a tribe in the East Java region called the Osing tribe, can be your tourism destination in Banyuwangi. What activities can we see and learn at this village? Let's explore this tourism village together. The local community is more familiar with the name Kemiren Village, but this village is better known to tourists by the name Osing or Using Village. The inhabitants of this village are a group of people who have unique customs and culture as one tribe, known as the Osing or Using tribe. The government has designated it as a cultural heritage area and developed it as a tourism village of Using or Osing tribe. The Osing tribe used to be servants of the Majapahit kingdom. However, when the kingdom was attacked, some of them fled to Tengger, Banyuwangi, and Bali. In Banyuwangi, they formed the Blambangan Kingdom. In the Osing village area, the main attraction is Sanggar Genjah Arum. With its typical Osing old houses, they are more than 100 years old. At this village, you can learn the history of the tribe from the shape of the house. The culture includes four traditional houses with different shapes that indicate the social status of the occupants, namely Crocogan, Tikal Balung, Tikal, and Serangan. At Sanggar Genjah Arum, you can directly see the culture and customs of the Osing tribe. There is an Angklung Paglak that farmers often play while protecting their fields. There are also Barong Kemireng and Gandrung dances that are performed when welcoming guests. The most interesting thing is that visitors can listen to Otek or Mortar music played by middle-aged women of the Osing tribe. This music is performed by playing a pasal and mortar accompanied by music from the Angklung Paglak and drums. At Osing Tourism Village, you should also taste the Using coffee at the Kemiren traditional village of Banyuwangi, or the typical coffee of the Using people, which is known to have such a delicious taste. You can also practice directly processing it from roasting, grinding coffee beans, filtering coffee grounds, to practicing how to serve coffee. The coffee beans are processed into coffee drinks of any type, from espresso or robusta. The taste is definitely very delicious. The village is located only about 15 minutes from downtown of Banyuwangi. So the location of this tourism village is quite easy to access. You'll get a variety of new experiences in this village. So you don't have to worry about getting bored in this village. We recommend that wherever you go for a trip, you must follow health protocols so as not to create new clusters. Prepare a mask, hand sanitizer, and keep your distance from other tourists. Have a good vacation!
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listener, here is a song from West Nusa Tenggara entitled Gugur Mayang. The song Gugur Mayang tells about a story of a destroyed village. The destruction of the village happened because of a traitor. The news of the devastation was spread widely. People are sad that their village is destroyed because they are traitors in the kingdom. According to various sources, there is a message to be conveyed by the songwriter in order to always be careful in living, because kindness is sometimes repaid in return with badness or betrayal. Well, listener, here is the song Gugur Mayang, sung by LL Muji. Happy listening!